Hallelujah. Tonight, somebody's fire will be open in heaven. And we have all our brethren, members of the body of Christ, known as the Bride of Jesus Christ, worldwide, connecting to this program tonight. Can we wave our hands and tell them something? What do we say? What do we say again? Shalom, shalom to wherever you are, in Europe, in America, Asia, wherever you are in Africa. The church says shalom. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. There are more people connected to this program than the people sitting down here now. All around the world, we have a lot of response. We have a lot of response. And people, for the first time, they are hearing the other side of the gospel. Amen. It is not the power they are looking at. It's not the anointing they are looking at. They are hearing something. Can we clap our hands for our God? Hallelujah. And we are receiving invitations that we should come and establish churches here and here, all over, everywhere. Both in Nigeria and outside Nigeria, especially from the east. From the east. Praise the Lord. And one of my sisters, senior sisters from my village, spoke to me this evening that the people watching us, they are thinking I'm an Igbo man. Say, I'm an Igbo man. Amen. I say, I thank God that there is no Igbo language in heaven. Amen. And one thing I said before about the average Igbo man is something unique about them. Whenever they go anywhere and they see something good, they will not tell any other tribe. They will look for their own. Nah, come and see something. That's why people fool here. But very soon now, through the television, everybody, other tribes will soon know say better thing they here. Hallelujah. When we continue to speak the truth, that is the time for truth to be spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everyone that loves the truth, they will love us. It's time to expose false Christianity and let the truth be spoken. The word of God is a light. Where the light shines, darkness must disappear. Praise the Lord. Everywhere, people are getting excited that they are hearing certain things they shouldn't hear. And those of you who are here on Sunday, I noticed after the message, they were rushing there to get a copy of the message we preached on Sunday. We have not finished, but that one was part one. When we concluded this Sunday, God willing. What's the title of the message? You know it. The due order. There is a due order. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so many people that connected to the program around the world will receive so many calls, so many messages, you know, thanking God for raising up a ministry like this. Now people are learning to know that what they thought was ministry before was not ministry. It's true. What they thought was Christianity before was not Christianity. And somebody called me from Akure. He's watching us now, I believe. He said, for the past 2 months, in his church. All their Jew has been praying, preaching for the past 2 months is tithe and offering. Tithe and offering. He said it's only because the Bible said don't forsake the gathering together, assembly of brethren. He said, if not, say he will sit at home. It was in that estate he jammed our channel. Praise the Lord. Tithe and offering for 2 months. The man is broke. He needs money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there was a program I watched on the television. You know, I believe God just led me to that station, you know, that time. I like to watch them so that I can use my channel and reply them. Because I'm misleading the people. And I saw one, a group of ministers that came together in Warri. And I was hearing, I was sitting down with my wife and we were watching them. And there are suddenly they say, my wife carried her hand, put say, hey. And they were doing abracadabra at the pulpit. Two of them, one go talk. The other one go charge, come call the microphone, continue. Lord, charge, come call the microphone, continue. Another one. And they were shouting as if they were saying something. And I tried to listen to them. They were shouting but saying nothing. And they were talking about the seed concerning tithe. That's why I remember that. That's why I remembered the tithe issue. And a preacher, he's a bishop. And they were talking to thousands of people that were in that program. And they were saying that it was tithe that Adam and Eve ate in the Garden of Eden. That is why God punished them. Hey! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said it was seed. To eat that seed, you are bringing curse upon generation. Because Abraham, the Bible said, paid tithe. And that Levi, his grandchild in the fourth generation, the Bible said, also paid tithe in the loins of Abraham. Correct. Now their interpretation is, if you eat seed of the seed of God, tithe. Also, to the fourth generation, they have also eaten that tithe. So the curse that will follow your generation. Yes. That's their teaching on tithe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they were saying with so much charisma and sweating and jumping and as if they are saying something. And then the members sat down and they were saying, our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. As with victory is ours, we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original. Oh yeah, the original. The original seed, the original word, is what I believe. The original seed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I hear such people, I begin to thank God for my life. Can you be preaching and something that should open the people's eyes, the word of God, and a blind man is holding it? When the blind leave the blind, what will happen? Tell them to stop that nonsense. Praise the Lord. Let them stop that nonsense. Stop deceiving the people. Praise the Lord. Some people don't like my prophecy. No, today on, everybody will like it. No, everybody will like it. Everybody will like it. Because I'm not going to touch the trousers, sister, you wear. I'm not going to touch your earring or your painting. I'm not even going to touch you and your boyfriend, all the nonsense life you are living. I'm not going that side, cocaine pushers. No, I'm not going to touch you tonight. I'm not going to touch anybody with a beating wife here. I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to touch anybody with drink before coming here tonight. I'm not going to touch you. What I'm going to say, everybody will like it. So why not clap your hands for me now? Because I'm going to tell you something that you... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 17, I know the question there is the same question that may be in your heart. But chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Hallelujah. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, well, we know the rest of the story. It is the Mount Transfiguration experience. Now let's read another scripture in Mark chapter 5. Let me read it from verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And then let's look at another one again in at the garden at Gethsemane. But before we come there, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What I'm looking at is why in the garden of Gethsemane, which is the third instance, was going, he also took Peter, James, and John. So, I keep saying, why of all the disciples did he choose Peter, James, and John? Why? That's the question I too ask. And he who asks receives. He who seeks finds. Study. Don't read the Bible. Study. And show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You should take note. He was going to for the transfiguration, where he will show himself in his glorified estate. A foretaste of how he will look like at the second coming. Of all his disciples, he picked Peter, James, and John. Going to Jairus' house for a miracle to heal that child, Jairus' child, He took Peter, James, and John. The time for him to die was getting closer. Going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he took Peter, James, and John again. Why these three? That's what we'll look at tonight. Praise the Lord. And so I title it, The Three Witnesses of Jesus Christ. The Three Witnesses of Jesus Christ. The Three Witnesses. He went to show, to witness. He wanted them to witness something about Christ. Praise the Lord. Watch it. These three characters represented something in the Christian faith. Three of them. One is Peter. Peter was known as the disciple, a man of faith. James was the apostle of works. Because James says, your faith without works is dead. And Apostle Paul, John, the third witness, was the apostle of love. Making us know the three ingredients of perfection. The three ingredients that makes you to be a true Christian. Faith, works, and love. The three must go together. Hallelujah. And when we say faith, Peter was known by faith. Let's look at them, how they display it one by one. Peter, when we say faith from two angles, because the word faith translated in English as faith, you have to always read the Bible in the context of the usage of the word faith. There is the faith that connotes confidence. Praise the Lord. If you have faith as little as a mustard seed, then you will tell this mountain, move. That is confidence. Have faith in God. That is, have confidence in God. That is faith. And there is also faith that means revelation. Hallelujah. And all this was around Peter, the man of faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because let's look at the first one. Faith as it connotes revelation. Faith as it connotes revelation. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And some say he's Jeremiah, some say he is this, is that, is this, is that. And they were telling him, disciples were telling him. Then he turned around to his disciples and asked them, who, you that have been following me, who do you say I am? And church, that question is still relevant till today. There are many people that are following Jesus, but they don't know who he is. Praise God. They don't know who he is. And quickly, Peter spoke that popular statement we all know. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned and looked at him. Can we read it? Some people, they look at me like, say, are they quote Quran? Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Okay. That is very important. The Christ. Not just thou art Christ, but thou art the Christ. Because they were expecting a Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Bar-Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah, blessed, that you know this, you are blessed, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why is he blessed? Because the Pharisees call him devil. And you are calling me the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he added, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but who? But my Father which is in heaven. What he's saying is, the fact that you know that I am Christ, the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you know that, it's not a Bible school that revealed it to you. It's not a man that made you to know that. Because when did I sit down to teach you about who I am? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, he's the one that revealed it. If I ask the average person sitting down here now, who is Jesus Christ? You will repeat what the Bible will say. But Peter has not seen it written anywhere before. But somehow he got to know, and Jesus told him the source of his knowledge. Why? Because there's another scripture in Luke chapter 10. Can we open it? Luke chapter 10, verse 22. It's important. Just catch it. It's those hearing me for the first time. All things, verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. Can you see? Nobody knows who the Son is but the Father. So that you can understand why he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Now let's read it again. He says, he said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And no man knoweth who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So if you say you know the Father of Jesus, it means Jesus has told you who his Father is. But it is written, is the Son of God. You are only reading it. But the revelation of his relationship with the Father, unless Jesus Christ show you, see who my Father is, you can never know it. And you can never know who this Son of God is unless the Father reveal him to you. Now go back to Matthew chapter 16. Just think on that. That's why I say, study the Bible. Study. Don't read the Bible. There are certain things when you read, you will stop. You say, what in this Bible they talk? Amen. Now, verse 17 again, Matthew 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Somebody shout rock. Say this rock. Say it again, this rock. You see the emphasis, this rock. It is a particular rock he was referring to. And that rock is not Peter. That rock is not Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What rock is he talking about? Remember, the discussion that was going on is, who do men say I am? Peter got the answer. And that answer is what he's talking about. That answer is the rock. The rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Catch it. If you get this, it will help you. I'm telling you. Because I say, and it is upon that rock that he, God, Christ himself, will build his church. When that church is built on the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, he said the gates of hell can never prevail against that church. If not, when the Babylonians and the Assyrians invaded this church, and they broke down the walls of the city. Praise the Lord. You know, they are still surprised that we are still worshiping here. Hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
And I dare not trust that sweetest grace, but only live on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All other ground.
All other ground.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Try to get the message I preached. That message that I titled, Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? It's a very loaded message. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now it's important you know it. Your Christian faith can never rise above the revelation you have of who Jesus is. Amen. And it is the greatest controversy, even in Christianity today. But in the whole world, it's the greatest controversy of all the religions on the earth. They have their leaders. They have their prophets. They have their founders. But only one of them, the leader of the Christians, that stood up before the whole world, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth, except by me. And with that, let's rule away all other means of getting to heaven. Aren't you happy you're a Christian, somebody? If that statement is true. And that statement is true. I said that statement is true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When we come to Christianity again, that is where the interesting part of the controversy is. You ask the average Pentecostal preacher, the average Christianity generally, the average, who is Jesus? The first thing they will Trinitarian will tell you is the second person of a Trinity. Second person of Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And come and see them when they are describing Trinity. I see there is anything to support it in the Bible. But when we come to Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, listen, as you are going to pastor a church, listen, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, and without controversy. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. That's why it will take the Father to reveal it to you. It's a mystery. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm quoting 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, and without controversy. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was manifest in the flesh. justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Who was it that was received up into glory? God. He called him God, and it was Jesus. So who is Jesus? Praise the Lord. The same apostle Paul was telling the Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 that he is the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. Meaning what? God with us. So who is Jesus? He was God with us. And who is the Holy Ghost? Is the same God in us. There is God with us, and there is God in us. It's the same God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why? You have to know who Jesus is. It depends on what you know of who he is. Hallelujah. That is the meaning of faith. Revelation. Revelation. I started with knowing who Jesus Christ is because it is the foundation of our faith. It is the foundation of our faith. I preached the message that I titled The Foundation of Our Faith. It is knowing who Jesus Christ is. And upon that, the faith, the church is built upon that rock, that foundation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is already laid. And that foundation is who? He says Christ. It's Christ. Why I say so is, the Bible says something. Hallelujah. One of the things that discourage people, as soon as you receive Christ, one of the gates of hell, they're in different categories, is all problem will be loose against you after you receive Christ. But there is something that keeps you in him under any condition. It is revelation. It is revelation. Revelation of who he is and what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. The love of God displayed that saved you from the destruction that is coming upon this world. When you catch that, like Apostle Paul, you can now say, what shall separate me from the love of God? When Apostle Paul said that he had undergone tribulation, trials, temptation, he escaped death several times, then Canaan several times. He suffered for standing for Christ. But still, he said, why did he do that? He said, I have no sin. When God showed him something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, neither has entered into the ear of man what God has prepared for those who love his appearing. He now said, what shall separate me from the love of God? What? Peril? Persecution? Death? Whatever it is. Hunger? Famine? He said, nay, in this, he said, we are more than conquerors. Through who? Through Christ that strengthens us. So he's not the type that when they are caning him, then he will say, oh Christ, now you are the preacher. You can't leave me, they go. He's saying instead, now that Christ is strengthening me, why didn't they cane me? It's a revelation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The faith there is revelation. The church shall live by revelation. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. What he's saying is, without revelation, it is impossible to please God. Because you will be doing God a service without it being his will. Why? Because you don't have revelation. You wouldn't even know how to approach him and receive from him. There are people that don't see God like some shrine. So even shrine, you don't approach shrine anyhow. Before shrine, we answer you. Babalawo will tell you what to bring. It is only Christians that think they can approach the throne of grace anyhow. Why? No revelation. That's why we see in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, it said, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By revelation, he offered that kind of sacrifice and it was accepted before God. And there are people that are offering God a sacrifice from their own ideas, like Cain. I was saying on Sunday, I said what Cain was offering, he was offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. When they should be offering the sacrifice for sin. Don't take the sacrifice for thanksgiving and come and, you know, offer it for sin offering. No. There is God's own, that's where we come about due order. God's own way, prescription on what to do when you commit sin. And it is written, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So it is blood. It is blood. Abel knew it. Cain didn't know it. Praise the Lord. And so his sacrifice was not accepted. You have to understand that. It's very, very important. That is one aspect that Peter was known for. Revelation of who Christ is. He was an apostle of faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you see 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the faith, the victory that overcome the world is what? He said, even our faith. He said, our faith is the victory that overcome the world. Hallelujah. Our faith there is the revelation we have. It's the victory that makes us to overcome the world. That's the victory. That's what Apostle John was talking about.
On beyond the moon and stars he went with the Old Testament saints. Oh, what a victorious march that must have been. With the real conqueror. After a while they come in sight of that glorious city. Abraham says to Sarah, come here, honey. And she gets Isaac and comes along. Isaac gets Jacob. Jacob gets Joseph. And he says, that's that city that Daddy saw, whose builder and maker is God. I walked about on the earth looking for a city to come whose builder and maker was God. And now I'm coming near the gates. Although the great man that they were, they could not conquer it. It taken one to come down to do the conquering. Though Abraham conquered difficulties, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, but there was only one who could conquer sin. That was him, the Lord Jesus. And as they seen the light from the inside the city, and the great pearly gates are shining, Jesus in the forefront marching on, and the angels begin to ascend to the top of the buildings, and they look coming, and the Old Testament saints cried out, open up ye everlasting gates, and be open, and let the King of Glory come in, the mighty conqueror. And the angel screamed back and said, who is this King of Glory? And the Old Testament saints cry out, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. And the gates come open, and he placed at the gate the old rugged cross. Oh, no, yeah.
Now that I call confidence. Confidence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Confidence. They were passing on their way, I think from Bethany, they're going to Jerusalem. And they saw a fig tree. And Jesus Christ went there. That is in Mark chapter 11. And when he got there, he discovered there was no fruit, and he cursed the tree. And the Bible says, and his disciples heard him. So he spoke it loud enough for everybody around to hear what he was speaking to that tree. And they just went their way. Thunder didn't strike. Oh. There was no shake, anything. Oh. The tree didn't fall under anointing. Is somebody hearing me? Those of you who believe that unless you fall under anointing, nothing has happened. You must not fall under anointing before you receive from God. Falling under anointing is not necessarily the evidence you have received from God. I have explained that several times. Because that tree was cursed. And he did not shake. If they look Jesus, Jesus they look up. But he went. The next day they were coming back. Of all the disciples, it was Peter that took note. Faith. Something about him. He was studying concerning Christ. He was studying concerning Christ. And Peter particularly was inspecting. This is the way our master talk. What will happen for this tree? He was looking at it. And he shouted, "Master, see this tree that you cursed yesterday. You don't try from the root." And that is when we come to verse 22, where he said, "Have faith in God." Christ began to teach him about faith. Have faith in God there is have confidence in God. Have the God kind of faith. For God said, "Let there be light." Do you know what happened before the light came? No, all we know is, and there was light. Let there be, let there be, let there be. That is the power of the spoken word. And he taught him, if you will say to this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," and you will not doubt in your heart, that's verse 23, but you will believe that what you say shall come to pass, you will have what you say. Have faith. Tell your neighbor, have faith. Tell your neighbor, have faith. That was one identification of Apostle Peter. He learned faith. He learned faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if you have faith, even as little as a mustard seed. So you don't even need too much of big faith. The least faith, the least faith. And you can exercise. He said it can move mountains. Two things here that you must take note of this. Faith, revelation, and confidence. And what gives you confidence is revelation. If you don't have confidence, if you don't have revelation, you can never have confidence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me use an example. Bring that seat there, Brother Jerry. Listen, I'm trying to demonstrate something. Put it down. Sit down. Now, I observe that you did not check whether this thing will break if you sit down. Why were you not afraid? Why didn't you check it first before you sat on it?
I believe it's strong enough to carry
you. You believe. What makes you believe that it's strong enough to carry you?
The confidence.
Put the microphone, let him talk, please.
The confidence. The confidence.
Which confidence? What? There's something that gave you confidence.
I have the faith that if I sit here.
You have the faith. You don't have any faith, nothing. Before you sit. That's not faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is because you know that every chair that is made of this material is strong enough to carry your weight. Nothing more than that. You know that every seat that is made of this material and it is like this can carry your weight. But I can tell you that somebody else that may be an obese person, maybe 5 times, 10 times, you know, fatter than you, if you fat small. Okay. Now I'm telling you that he knows that there are some plastic seats here that cannot carry his weight. I have seen people before they sit and stand up, sir, they will double it. Then they will sit down. I have seen it. Who has seen that before? Now, why? Because they have a revelation that their weight, this seat, cannot carry their weight. Now, that is what we're talking about, Christianity. Revelation gives you confidence. If you don't have revelation, What you will have that will be following you up and down will be fear. 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 You will hear him say, fear not, I am the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Fear. 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 Fear will make you lose confidence. Now, it's true. So that is how it is. To walk with God, there is a revelation you must have of him that produces that confidence called faith. The revelation that nothing is impossible with my God will make me not to be afraid of any deadly sickness that comes upon me. It's important. The revelation that I know that there are angels of God that encamp round about me will not make me to be afraid of witches when I'm going to bed to sleep. I sleep with my two eyes closed. It's a revelation that gives me that confidence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you see a Christian that is afraid, that is showing the limit of the confidence, the revelation you have about God. The revelation that you have about God. And Peter was a man of revelation, confidence, boldness. He was always walking around faith. And one time, he saw Jesus Christ walking on water. And he looked at him. Jesus, not because you be. Jesus told him, said, no, now me be this. Him now you then. Oh yeah. The thing will make you to walk on top water. Make me to walk on top water. That's faith. Confidence. Confidence. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, the Moses said, oh yeah, waka they come. And he stepped on water. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see why he became an apostle of faith. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you then surprised that they get beautiful? There was no vision. They were entering the temple to go and worship. And one beggar called and asked him, say, give me, I beg now, find me something to make I chop. Babi Allah, Bamuda Allah, Babi Allah. He didn't see vision. Hallelujah. He knows if Jesus is to pass by this man will rise. Confidence. He had already had the training in it. And then he turned and looked at him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as we have. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love that type of Christianity. I don't want a Christianity that comes by emotion and sensation. Until I can't pray for you, unless I feel a vibration, then I lay hand on you. No, 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 no. Amen. That is not faith. I hope you know that's not faith. That's not confidence. If you have to wait until there is a sensation before you move. No, 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 no. Every Christian here, we are supposed to have a measure of faith. That is the mustard seed kind of faith. As little, so you don't need big faith to move a mountain. You don't need big faith. But that small faith that you have must go along with a big revelation. A deep revelation. When you are deeply revelated, you don't need to shout. You don't need to scream. Chap, 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 chap. The nonsense will go. The day that I caught the revelation of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, that it included my healing. By his stripes I am healed. I have never been afraid of any sickness. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got that revelation when I gave my life to Christ in 1989. And from 89 till now, I have not gone to hospital because I am sick. Does it mean I don't fall sick? Regularly I fall sick. But anytime sickness comes, I look at the cross and invoke that power. That is why, it's because of this malaria. That's why they came to you, Jesus, and hung you on the cross. If this malaria continues, it's trying to say what you did on the cross, my life. Hey, malaria, by the stripes of Jesus, I am I am not repeating what somebody said I should repeat. I am saying it from a depth of revelation I have. And anytime you challenge the cross like that, something always happens. Something always happens. Praise the Lord. That's why Peter is an apostle of faith and a witness of faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you will know why Jesus Christ took Peter along as a witness. And the second person was James. And James is an apostle of works. Let's open James chapter 1. Let me read from verse 22. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Go to chapter 2. And let me read from verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" See Apostle James 1:15. He's explaining it. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." That's very deep. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But with thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Another example. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Finally, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." That is Apostle James. You have revelation, yes. The evidence of revelation is the actions that you put up following that revelation. That's the emphasis. That's the works he's talking about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can carry a drug and know all the revelation that this drug can heal. This drug, it will take away malaria. This drug, it will cure everything for body. This drug is the best. Look at scientific proof. See laboratory proof. See testimonies. See, you have all this knowledge, and yet you are sick. If you don't drink that drug, what has that knowledge profited you? Faith without works. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why James had to follow Peter, so that the two of them will be together. But there has to be a third one again. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. John was the apostle of love. Love. He was the apostle of love. He was in John chapter 13. He was the disciple that was always like. Let's read it. Verse 23. You remember that from verse 21, he was saying that very, very, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me after the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. Verse 22 says, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Another narration said, they were asking him, this one said, Is it I? Even Judas said, is it I? Who is the person that will betray you? Is it I? Judas was asked, is it I? Peter said, is it I? This one said, is it I? Amen. Verse 23. He said, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. You know what he was doing? Anytime they sit down together like this, John knows that Jesus loved him so much. And he too loved Jesus so much. And you'll be showing it even in the midst of other disciples. He go lie down, put in head from top Jesus' chest. Hey, I wish I can see Jesus. I go commode John for there, put my head there. Put my head over there. Put my head there. Those disciples, they were very mature though. They're very matured. Eh? Those of you who have children at home, you see how jealous they are. Eh? If I carry my son, hold her like this, my daughter will run and push him away from me. Let me go hold him. You know? And then I'm imagining how, you know, those other 11 disciples, they will watch this one disciple every time go lie down, put a head. And from the look of things, Jesus did not hide his love for John. Because see the statement that followed. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Because if you don't answer us, he go answer you. You don't say, he love you, well. Amen. Hallelujah. And verse 26, of course, Jesus answered him. But the emphasis there, that disciple there was John. It was John that Jesus loved so much. There is something about him that made him so close. His closeness with Jesus to the level he went made him to understand what true love is. Peter was learning faith. Because he's a no-nonsense person. When they came to arrest Jesus, who was the one that removed sword? Peter cut off somebody, one of those with their ears. Ready for battle. Action man. He's an action man. Hallelujah. Amen. John was busy studying love. That's why he's the only one that wrote in the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. No other person spoke about it. He's the only one in the Gospels. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And one sure thing is about love. You can't kill love. I hope you know. Love cannot be killed. No wonder. In chapter 16, the last verse there of Matthew, Jesus Christ was telling his disciples that there are some standing here that will not taste death until they see my coming. It's later we got to know John did not see death until at the island of Patmos he saw the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did everything to kill him. They could not kill him. Praise the Lord. They can kill your faith Amen. Hallelujah. They can discourage you until you won't be able to apply any works. But when it comes to love, you are unkillable. Why? Because love is of God. Love is the very essence of God. And he that dwells in love, watch it, you even live long life. He that fight. Where the shrine? Where he dead? Faith. I will show you worshiping the mighty God. Amen. Watch them every time. Trouble. Because those demons must come after him. See, there is, read the history. There is nothing they did not do to kill John. But they couldn't kill him. The account says they put him oil. I don't know whether palm oil or granite oil. Inside a drum. Cook him. The hot. They carry and put inside. For him to boil and die. When they open up, the man like witch came out. That was the last one. They said, this guy not be ordinary person. Let's keep him where animals stay. We've done everything to kill this man. This man if he die. That is when they banish him in that island. But see, love. Everything around him was love. Never anywhere he spoke against those people that were persecuting him. Do you know that they sent him to the island where wild animals, so that one animal will see him, jam him, and eat him up, or he will die of starvation there and die. Hear his narration. Open Revelation chapter 1. It caught my attention some time ago. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 9. That's where the scripture. It says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. For what? He said, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was not saying that he was there. The enemy, they hate me, they boil me, they kill me, they come put me here, make I die. Like they here, Nahim, God, come down, they show me revelation. He said, no, that he was in that island for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. This is why I'm in this island. Oh. For all things work together for good. Always stop saying that devil. It's not every time that it's devil. Those of us that lead prayers. Not everything be devil. Everything is devil. And I have also found out something. Amen. The dream you have. It's a condition of your heart. It's from the composition of your spirit, man. If everybody around you, you believe they hate you, all of them are witch, in your dream, what do you expect you will see? Yes. The condition of the heart. Just like a girl who sees a young man and begin to wish, I marry this man. Oh, Father, give him to me. Oh, Father. Oh, and he goes sleep with, oh, give him to me. Which dream he go get? He go dream they went with the man. He said, the Lord showed me that is my husband. The Lord showed me that is my husband. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Apostle of love. That's one effect of love. That is the evidence. I'm just trying to let you know, what that revelation did that makes him to be known as the apostle of love. And if you go to the scripture, John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9 to 3, and let me just give you those scriptures because we all know them, where he says, he that said is in the light and hated his brother, he said he's still in darkness. So it was always love, love, love. And he said, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, read it up to verse 21. And read also where he was trying to let you know that you cannot say you love God and you hate the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to all those religious people. God, 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 God. But you hate, you know, his son. And he came and he said in chapter 5, the first three verses there, where he says, he that loves, he that is begat, must love he that is begotten of him also. So if you love the Father, then you must love the Son also. You cannot love the Father and hate the Son. And if we are children of God, you cannot say you love God and you hate his children and you are displaying hatred. That was how he broke down Christian love. And that is what is missing in the church. And it is also an ingredient for true Christianity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul had that revelation too. This is the way he put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all know that scripture. But I love the way it's almost like a poem. Anytime I read it. Chapter 13. All of us that are gifted, hallelujah, whatever gift you have, that gift has to be operated in love. It has to be operated in love, with love. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Charity here is love. Why does he use the word charity? Praise the Lord. Do you know what is called charitable organizations? They are organizations that give to the needy. So love, referred to as charity there, is demonstrative love. Demonstrative love. Charity. Amen. When I see you are in need and I'm in a position to help. When I help, what I have demonstrated is not just love, but it is charity. It's higher than just the ordinary type of love. Love that goes with an action, with some sacrifice. That is charity. That's what he's saying here. If you don't have that type of feeling in you, if you don't have that type of feeling in you, though I speak with the tongues of men, and of angels, those of you who speak in tongues, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal that they used to sing. Nothing beyond that. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, end time may say believers, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have no charity, it profited me nothing. Because you may be doing it like a politician. Now, very soon now, you will see philanthropic politicians in Nigeria. They will gather widows and say, you know, we just want to take care of you. Now lie. They want your vote. Why you wait until election won't come before you remember us? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When it was time to vote them into government, the last election here, they brought hundreds of bags of rice to bride assembly. Oh, the governor loves all of you. He said, we should give you this. May I say, I announced to the church, they have brought us rice, so make sure you vote them. That's what they wanted. After we vote them finish, they carry caterpillar, come here. Praise the Lord. After we voted them, that's what he's saying here. He said, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I gave my body to be burned and have no charity, it profited me nothing. Then he's telling you how you know you have charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. That is describing one who has that type of love. No envy. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. And thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then in future we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Love. Love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you understand why why Jesus Christ himself, anytime in these three instances, the house of Jairus, at the Gethsemane, and at the Mount Transfiguration, he singled at the same people, the same three people, witnesses. They were not, he was not just doing things anyhow. Remember, he doesn't do anything until the Father showed him. Amen. Because faith plus works plus love, they must flow together for true Christianity. I have revelation, and that is the problem with inter-message believers. They're hearing me now all around the world. That's the problem you have. You have revelation. So then, that is where you end. Your works prove the revelation you have. The evidence that it is a true revelation you have, it produces better Christianity. When you have a revelation that makes you run away from everybody, until everybody, you look at them as animals. Inter-message believers. Somebody from this church wants to visit another church in Port Harcourt. In Port Harcourt. My friend, oh. The pastor there, now my friend. For years. My brother. You see me, you see him. All of a sudden, they say he catch one revelation. Continuity of revelation. That there is a man called the lead apostle. That after William Branham, then there was Raymond Jackson, After Raymond Jackson have gone, now it is that man. It's in Lagos. And I said, a lie. There's no scripture that confirms that ministry. And because I refuse to follow them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have become his enemy. Until a member of this church relocated to Port Harcourt and traced his church and number, called him. I'm in Port Harcourt. I want the address of the church. Which church were you worshiping in Lagos? Bride Assembly. You know, he said, who is your pastor in Bride in Lagos? He said, Pastor Alu. He said, if you are from that church, please don't come to our church. Better go and look for your kind of people I worship with, not here. That is the product of a revelation. He said, yes. Amen. So me now, that left my brothers and sisters that are Muslims in my family, now that I have found Christ, then I will say, so how will I win them to Christ if I run away from them? I will not follow them to pray their prayer. I will not follow them to do whatever they do. Praise the Lord. But I will get close to them. After all, praise the Lord. When the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, do you know what a yoke is? Your brother, same father, same mother may be a drunkard. You will not follow him to drink. But you eat together. When he visits you, you won't drive him away. Why? You still have a relationship with him. The blood of your father is still linking the two of you. So don't go into that type of Christianity where you say, they are idol worshippers, so I don't want to have anything to do with them. You know, if I touch them, there can be transfer of spirit. It means their own spirit, they transfer, enter you. Why your own not transfer, enter their own? They should be the one running away from you. You are running away because there will be transfer of spirit. And some churches teach that. A sister was telling me, she was in one of these churches. Everything a demon, 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 demon. And the sister confessed to me that it made her to be running away from her husband, who was an unbeliever. Because the Jew taught them that that man went to the club. He went and packed spirits from that nightclub. That's why he's coming to the house. If he touch you, all that spirit will enter you. So when the man is coming back from his nightclub, honey, 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 and the man was brought up, grew up and brought up and school everything in America. So American style, hi, honey, hi, hi, hi. The guy would say, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. And the man thought his wife had saka. Praise the Lord. That kind of teaching. I met a man inside the prison yard where we were all detained together. We were on fire for Christ in the prison. When we were released, for about a year I didn't see him after release. And then one day he came to my office and he noticed I was still in that fire. And he had to confess. He said, brother, he said, I have backslidden. I asked him, why have you backslidden? He said, it's a company. So, you know, when he came out, you know, the friends, they will all come to his office, gather, you know, before he knows what, you know, they all influence him. And I told him, I said, no, sir. He said, big man. I said, no, sir, you were not converted. He said, eh? You know how we were on fire now. I said, but me and you were on fire together now. I said, sir, you were not converted. Be sincere with yourself so that you can be converted. I asked him, I said, I'm telling you, and whosoever tries to hide under the weakness, say, now my friends, now then do them. I said, you have a spirit in you. Those people too, they have a spirit in you, in them. I say you are saying that their own spirit of our power your own. You began to chase women again with them. They drink with them. They go to club with them. He said, what happened with that too? I say it is because you didn't have the spirit of God in you. And if you ever had it at all, then you had no safeguards. When I came out, I had very horrible friends. Where we were brought up, we are almost like a cult, so close. And the kind of life we were living, and they were all military men, military officers. We are classmates that grew up from the age of 13, 14 till we were together in the military. So we are close. I knew that it is going to be very difficult for these people to believe, say, the person will be their leader before, don't change. When you come around me immediately, as soon as you come, inside my heart, I say, they don't come. First thing is, I attack you first. How about you see the drink? How about you see the chase woman? So now me attack. Nobody you go start. Now me. I said, what's it going to be all this one? I said, look, this life. I will start to preach. This life. So now him they pray, now make it come up from me, they go. Praise the Lord. My former girlfriends, hey, they don't release them. Hey, they don't release them. They don't come. I said, you see the follow man? Ah, Moses, what did happen? What did happen? Eh? You see the all this life? Listen, you don't know how I get wife? The follow man. You don't go look for your husband. Now me, the follow. You go to hell. Oh. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. Hey, you mean I'm. Devil. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, that's how I overcame all of them. One by one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every one of us should know our weakness, should know the things we are deeply involved in before. And know that is your enemy. Anything around you that will begin to stimulate that aspect of your life, you run away from it. You don't romance with the devil. They say if you want to eat with the devil, eat with a long spoon. Why must you eat with the devil? You don't need any long spoon. Devil's hand is longer than your spoon. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
My Father and my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. Worship you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. And always remember that God does not work for man. God works with man. Write that statement and ponder over it. God does not work for you. God works with you. That's why he came as Emmanuel. God with man. That is why he said you should come and pray. If you don't pray, prayer is bringing God into your affair, into your matter. He knows what your problem is, but he will not attend to your problem until you too, you involve yourself in it. That's why we fast. That's why we pray. That's why we study. That's why we do the things that we do. Always know it. It's not enough that you are a believer. It's not enough that you are a believer. It's not enough that you have faith. And it's not enough that you jam faith with your works.
Also, love must be accompanied. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because that was exactly what happened in Acts chapter 3 at the gate beautiful. William Branham preached a message that he titled the 11th commandment. In that Acts chapter 3, if you read it, that story there, Peter went together with John. They were going to the temple to go and worship. But Peter went with John. Faith must always be accompanied with love. If you are ever going to experience any miracle, faith must be accompanied by love. 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 That's why, of all the disciples, Peter went together with John. John did not perform that miracle. It was Peter that spoke. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have. Okay, let's read it. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, now watch it. When he said, "Look," I believe with the whole of my heart that when that blind man there, that crippled man there, looked on them, a compassion flew from Peter to him. I want to imagine, and that compassion will move Peter by the action that John will be putting up at that time. John, the apostle of love. John must have made a statement. Oh, see as this man, how many years did they hear and they suffer like this? Just they suffer like this. Charity. Love. And he fired that faith that Peter had. Look on us. The man looked. Praise the Lord. Look at me, my brother. Look to Jesus now and live. He's recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look at me. And the man stood up and everybody was surprised. And they were wondering what is happening. What is happening? This was the reply that Peter gave them in verse 16. He was talking about Jesus Christ. And he said, and his name, through faith, Peter, Apostle Peter, faith. And his name through what? Through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith in his name has produced this miracle. But that faith will never have worked if John was not around. Love. That's why I picked him. And William Branham preached the message titled the 11th commandment. He said, when faith projects. Hallelujah. William Branham preaches, when faith projects, he said, God takes over. When faith projects, God takes over. One thing I love about the ministry of William Branham, God used that teaching to establish so many things in my Christian life. So many things in my Christian life. That's why I understood clearly. I was thinking that it was some special gift that I had. A special healing gift that I had. But I noticed I didn't have any vibration. I still don't have any such vibration. But when I was locked up in Ikoyi prison where I gave my life to Christ. Some of you know my history, my story. I did a prison yard before. For 2 years. I'd come in from my office. then grab me. The one where they thief before they don't catch me. One small way, I just want thief. I never even thief up. They don't grab me like that. Release me now, no thief. See, I'm no thief. They say, no lie. You want thief up. But the one where I thief, they don't catch me. Praise the Lord. But unknown to them, they were pushing me like Joseph. Hallelujah. While I was there, I found Christ in the prison. Thank God for prison. Thank God for your situation that led you to see Christ. That's why I am proud to say it any day, anytime, anywhere. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you now, not be poverty, carry you come meet Christ. You look left, you look right. No help. Bill, I say, I won't die. Where will I seek help? Where will I go? Hallelujah. Some now HIV. HIV, where you get, I say, oh, Father. That's how you find from going from prayer to prayer. Sister, come. No, because of husband, when no come. Something must make you meet Jesus. Eh? Something must make you meet Jesus. My own now prison yard make me meet Jesus. Praise the Lord. But in that prison yard, that's what I'm trying to say here. It will help us, those of us who have ministries. I have found that to be the truth. I'm sharing with you now. Inside that prison yard. Now, some of us, I was what we call privileged prisoners. You know, we were privileged. That is, we are not being treated like other prisoners. In fact, it's just the limitation. Any other thing I needed, I had it. Even if I wanted to go home every day and come back, they were allowing me. I was receiving. I was seeing my family every day. But I had all the privileges. I was alone in my room with my television, newspapers, and everything. But it was there I met with Christ. I noticed that people had problems. Somebody, because of 200 naira for bail, he has been there for 3 years. Locked up, awaiting trial. He no go court. Accused no come. IPO no come. He remained there. They said they don't grant him bail. Remain 200 naira to give charge and bail to remove him. He cannot afford it. I'm telling you, that's the condition. And all manner of sicknesses there, no good medical, nothing. Nothing there. Every day they carry dead bodies out. But I felt there was a compassion in me. And I will see you. I will see a young boy. Why are you here? I've been them. This is it. I will send outside to my friends outside. They will bring money for me. I will give them. Go and send for somebody. I will even send for lawyers. Please go and release also. Release these ones. And they were releasing them. Praise the Lord. And everyone that was sick, including those who were terminally ill, I never prayed 2 times. I lay my hand on you and pray, you will receive healing. Now, I was thinking there was some special anointing. It was not a special anointing. There was a feeling I had. It was William Branham that explained it. He said, anytime somebody comes to you with a problem and you get into the feeling of that person, he said, the smallest prayer you offer, God will step in. That love you have, there's a power that goes with it. And that is what I operate till now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to understand that. You have to understand. Once you can get, I told the ministers, I pray for HIV patients. Several of them receive healing. Why? I don't jump. Yeah. He must go. Blue. When I see you come with HIV and it has even blown to AIDS, what I see is death notice. I may be seeing this one for the last time. And this one may have a mother, may have a father, may have this. Now this. Before you know what, as I'm looking at you, there's a feeling that begin to feel. At that estate, I pray for you. I don't pray 2 times. Unless I don't have the time to listen to you and get into what, you know, your feeling is.
No, that's the truth. I said, when a young man came to my office one time and said, for 2 weeks, I mean 3 weeks or something like that. 2 weeks, he said he ran away from his house. He came for prayer. Pastor, pray for me. Frustration everywhere. Wait, so they evil. Not be only that one self. The one where they worry me now, I owe somebody 40,000 naira. He no agree me stay for house. I run from house. 1 month, Abby. No, not be that long. He said the person they come early in the morning, they wake up for house. So he ran away from the house. Leaving his wife and his children at home, he ran away. He cannot go home because he was owing 40,000. So imagine how I would feel that time. And I looked at him, I said, so if you have 40,000 naira now, you can go back home to your family. He said, but where are you going to get them? Pastor, just pray for me. I said, no, be prayer. You need 40,000. I brought out my check and I wrote out 40,000. I said, go and go to the bank and claim it. He was like a dream. I go back home. Why? I felt it. I'm a family man. And I know what it is for what that man was going through. And remember, he didn't come to tell me, Pastor, help me with money. This is what I am going through. Because as I talk now, you go see text messages. Pastor, the same thing as you told him be my case. My own not even reach 40,000, my own at 35,000. Praise the Lord. That type of Christianity, amen, it produces power. William Branham said that was the secret of all the testimonies in his ministry. When you stand before him, God gives him a vision. And he sees what you are going through. There's a feeling he has. Cancer is gone. Young lady will stay. And then you will hear that, you know, somebody has tied her. I say, you know, go marry. Eh? It's one I saw. Very pretty girl. Very pretty girl. Very pretty girl. What happened? He said, Pastor, since I was born, no man has told me. How now? Praise the Lord. And then you can imagine. And they want this girl to go until she passes that age. I was asking, what did you do? What is the problem? Now, I didn't see vision. I didn't hear any voice. There was no revelation. But that I can see what the devil wants to do on this girl. There was a feeling I had. And I jumped up from my seat and said, it's a lie. You will marry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not you going to the mountain, no. It's not you saying you are doing the feeling you have. At that particular moment, anything you utter, it comes to pass. That's one secret about the power of love. And you can never have a successful ministry if you're a minister without this ingredient in you. That love, that feeling. Don't you ever expect results from any prayer you pray until you have noticed that you have entered into the feeling of that person. No, the ministers, you know what I mean. Anytime you get into that feeling, something happens. You see a revelation of what somebody is doing against someone. There's an anger that comes upon you. Say, what? And in that estate, the smallest thing you offer, or you utter against that problem, you don't pray 2 times. They will give you. But there's one that will pursue you for 3 days. One time, oh, okay, come. You say, what will be your problem? HIV. Now, you know they come, you know they drink our water? You know they call every Tuesday? Okay. See my number here. Call me for night. For where? Don't tell you to go. can never get any result. Can never get any result from that. All of you that are gifted, I'm telling you the secret now. All of you watching me, that's the secret. That is why some people succeed and some others don't. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's something about love. Amen. That's why you can forgive easily. That's why you can't hold people in your heart. You let go. It's a higher power. Say, Lord, forgiveth all things. You forgive. It's easy to forgive. The reason why it is easy to forgive is you always know he didn't mean to do what he's doing. There's something else that will cover up that action. We'll explain that action away. If that person is a brother, praise the Lord. There are the three ingredients that you need. There are the three ingredients. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The woman with the issue of blood demonstrated it. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and has suffered many things of many physicians and has spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, somebody shall say, say it again. No, are we awake? Shout, say. Faith always says something. Faith will always say something. What did she say? If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That is faith. But it does not end in your prayer. It does not end in what you say, you confess. There must be an action. There must be an action. Hallelujah. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? You see, she touched his clothes. Did she see vision? No. But she has known that Jesus has always performed miracles. And this is the only opportunity I have. Now, that knowledge is revelation. Now, this is that revelation you are confessing. I know if I will just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Not only faith, there was an action that goes with it. Faith with works. Hallelujah. Faith with works. Around love. Faith with works. Around an atmosphere of love. Virtue left him. Amen. There were different people were touching him now because the crowd was much. But there are different types of touch. There was a touch that went with faith. There was a touch that went with faith. Many voices will cry here this night. But some will shout with faith. And some will shout because others are shouting. You can't have the same type of testimony. In an atmosphere of love like that, amen, a miracle took place. And Jesus Christ turned and looked. And she was scared at first. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith had made thee whole. I remember one time when a woman, I was coming out to enter my car, and the woman was fighting with the security. They were struggling and fighting. She was saying, I must. I called her attention. I said, wait, bring her. What's the problem? Amen. And she was crying, my husband is dying. And she was shouting, I know that if you see him, I know he will come back to life. And I don't know what was happening. I said, where is he? They took me to where he was. In that feeling, there was a feeling. This woman was desperate. Only hope, this boy will die. She had faith. This man will die. She had faith. I didn't pray for long. That man came back to life. He came back to life. Praise the Lord. Was it a vigil or Tuesday or so? Was it 2 weeks ago or last week? A young boy, I was about entering my car and they were fighting with security. Really? Seriously? No, no, no. I said, what's that? Leave him to come. He came and knelt down. Pastor, help me. I am from Wari or so. It's a worry or somewhere. He said he needed 2,000 naira to add to his money for transport. He has to go back. He doesn't have anywhere. He needs, I should help him. Amen. You know, there's something that, a principle that I have always walked in, and it is all from a heart of love. Now, when I was in the service, I was in the Air Force, I was in charge of their money here in Lagos, their finance. And soldiers, you know, they can demonstrate when they don't tire. You will see a soldier will come run to your office, sir, let them be crying. My son is in the hospital. Sir, they need just this amount. Since I don't have, the boy will die. They said this will buy drug. The boy will die. They said this is to buy drug. Although we know some of them now drug addicts, they did not catch them. They don't know the lie. But always it was guided by this principle. What if it is true? What if it is true that it is just this little amount that will save the child? For that, if you they lie, if I catch you saying a lie, they lie. If you catch you saying a lie, they lie, I will give you the money. And I'll find peace in me. I was not a Christian. But I'll find peace in me. A senior officer once came to my office. I said, he's coming from a lorry. His vehicle broke down the way. Got stranded. He had to take public transport to go and tow that vehicle and come to Lagos. The problem, he was talking somewhere. And the person said, go to Alu's office. If you go and tell him, narrate it, it is, he'll get you the money. I don't know him. He sat down in my office and began to narrate. I said, Oga, your motor is on the way now. I said, Kai. I went out to look for him. I came. I said, this is the money, sir. Take. The man said, I was told that if I come, this is exactly what will happen. You see? Now, one old man came. They say he came from somewhere also, local Niger State, that he came to look for his son. But they said the son had gone on course. Nobody was around. Stranded. I didn't know. The oddly came to my office and said, somebody, one old man said, this is, I said, bring him. He said, sir, he was looking for money to enter train from Lagos to Lokoja. I said, what happened? This is what he said. I said, I got the money, got enough. I said, don't enter train, take motor and go. The man said, ha, then tell me. Say, if I see you, I will not be stranded. Why was I doing it? Did I know that? It's an old man that is stranded in Lagos. I would do everything to help him. But you know some people, they will say, get out of here. Eh? Eh? All of you listen out here, some of you, get bad the spirit. With Bible for hand. That's what James was saying. Your brother says he's hungry. Then you are saying, in Jesus' name,
The Lord shall open storehouse and provide you with food. Meanwhile, you. That's why the Bible says, he that stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he himself will cry and he will not be heard. It's the Bible. As you would that men should do to you, so do ye also unto men. Love. The day you try that, you will soon discover the true power of God. I'm telling you. Exercise love. Exercise love. Somebody say, you know, a Christian is supposed to be open-hearted. Open-hearted. If I tell you something, you should not doubt me. If you tell me something, I should not doubt you. Yes. That young man that came, they cried, say, you want 2,000, 2,000. What came to my mind is, maybe, na lie. I don't know how many people don't run tell, say, you want that 2,000 naira to go. But what if it is true? So I say, you want 2,000. Jerry, I remember how much I gave him. I said, you want two, but I'll give you 3,000. I think something like that. I gave him more than he asked for. He said, thank you, sir, thank you, sir. I collected it and began to run. They go. What if that is what will save him from all the embarrassment? And each time you do that to a child of God, you don't know that you are doing it to God. You position yourself for a special blessing. Praise the Lord. Of course, the Bible says we should be as wise as the serpent, but as harmless as a dove. These days now, they capitalize on it. They capitalize on it. If you stand here now and give testimony, say you get breakthrough, they feel organized kidnappers for you, sir. So people know they give testimony anyhow again. In the church. 419. 419 me? No. God will never allow me to be 419 by anybody. Because my heart is clean. I don't 419 anybody. Why should you 419 me? And apart from that, now Malu be this one. But inside here, na Igbo. Sense. Na Ifu here. Can't get me. By lie. You can't get me. Praise the Lord. You can't get me. You can't get me. Praise the Lord. That is why everyone that God will use, he will either allow you to enter the world where, so that when you're eventually out, all those things you see, they are vanities. Vanities. But if you were nothing before, suddenly one gift come upon you, now you become a star. So everybody, they come around you, they sweet you. I'm somebody now. I'm somebody now. That's what I'm going to hook you. It's true. Praise the Lord. No woman can pull me down because I don't see the hiri before. Plus Oyibo, plus Igbo, plus Hausa, Fulani, Yoruba, all. Jam all of them. All. So, what will you use to pull me down and say you be a woman? And you can't use money because I was in charge of money. I had money. So money can't scatter my head. I have seen it. Now money now make me enter trouble. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have faith, can I see your hand up? No, put one hand up. One hand. That one hand is for faith. Okay, some hands are down. Some people, one hand, no, they observe. Put it up above your head. Now, if you believe in faith with works, put up the second hand. And if you have decided not to walk with faith, jump up.
Anybody sitting down there, let them remain seated. The rest of you remain standing. You didn't hear me. See, faith, works,
when you stand up,
love, you get balance. That your hand, if you lay it on the sick, it can never receive anything if you don't have love. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up? Use that hand and clap for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What I want to achieve tonight is for you to know, as you come to pray, always know, after you have prayed, those of you looking for work, pray, Lord, I claim my work. Before so time, work must come. You don't sit down at home. From tomorrow, I begin to go find work. That is faith with works. Praise the Lord. That is faith with works. These are the three ingredients. Faith. Peter, James, and John. Those are the three witnesses. That's why Jesus always took them along wherever he went. To let us know, these are the three ingredients for you to make a successful Christian life. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that what you say shall come to pass, you will have what you say. Hallelujah. And when you stand praying, believe. He says so. You have to believe. You have to believe. Faith. You have to believe. If you don't believe, you doubt. A doubting heart cannot receive anything. Double-minded person cannot receive anything from God. When you come here, I am telling you now, I am not only a teacher of faith, I practice faith. I walk with faith, and I thank God that he has decided that I should walk with faith. Faith. Revelation. I move by faith. I walk with God by faith. By faith. Knowing where I stand. I have a gift. I have the gift. But I don't pray and wait for a vision. Before I pray for you, I don't wait for a vision. I don't wait for a voice. I pray first. If anything come up, then I can continue. And if I pray, I don't see anything. I will not say nothing show me, so nothing will happen. I will just say that means you don't get problem. To say you get problem, I say pray for you, God for show me. If you don't show me, or you don't show me today, you will show me another time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I didn't say make I enter spirit, enter spirit. I don't enter spirit, nothing. I pray for you. It's enough that the Father said, if I ask him to do anything, he will do it. He said, if two of you shall agree concerning anything, I apply it. I call a sister to my office on Tuesday. I said, Jerry, don't let anybody enter my office. I want to do a prayer with this sister. She sat down. I said, look, there's a matter on ground. She's a prophetess. I said, I didn't call you to see vision, no. As I tell her, no, I don't call you to see vision, no. I want us to agree concerning this prayer point. I hold in hand, we begin praying. When we don't pray, satisfy. I say, they go. I don't say, wait till you see. I don't ask her, did you see anything? No. That's not, I don't be vision. They ask. Come, the scripture says, two of us shall agree. That thing is very powerful. Get a prayer partner that loves you and that is faithful. Come together over any matter. Is more powerful than going before a prophet. I'm giving you a secret. If two of you shall agree, he said, one will chase 1,000, two will chase how many? Did he say two prophets? It's you, the Israelite, the Jew. Always know that. Stand on some scriptures. When I say pray, sometimes when we come here, we say, face your partner. When we finish our communal service, I say, collect the person you wash their feet. Collect their phone number. Let that person be your prayer partner. I am wanting you to benefit from that power of agreement, prayer of agreement. We came again. We have prophetic Sunday.
where we come here and just begin to prophesy, we don't ask God to do anything for us. On prophetic Sunday, we don't ask God to do anything for us. We speak authoritatively. I shall make it this year. I shall not die. Power of the spoken word. If you say to this mountain, be that removed. You didn't say, oh God, remove this mountain. All I want is for you to benefit from that scripture. From that provision. You stand and speak, it will come to pass. That's why I told you, take time and stand by the mirror and prophesy to yourself. There's power of the spoken word. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Study the Bible. Don't just do follow. Don't wait until a prayer point is called. Now we're going to start by telling you to tell God why you are here. Some people go sit down and they look. You are the best intercessor for your problem. You are the best intercessor for your problem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And many of us don't even know. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace even with his enemies. Anytime you come here, I break down Christianity to ground level. So that you will know, amen, that Christianity is not difficult. Have a relationship with God. See, let me tell you. If a man's way pleases the Lord, there's a problem with us. Many of us, instead of trying to get close to God, we try to get close to the ministers. I'm saying it again. Instead of you to try and get close to God, you are trying to get close to his servants. And the servant can do nothing without the master. And the master does not share his glory with anybody. When you get close to a minister, and so many of you have not known that those of you who are too close to the ministers, they don't see vision for you. I saw you're going to follow them. Praise the Lord. See, when you get close to God, God will send one of them to attend to you. When you get close to God, he will send his prophet to you. And when it is God that sends his prophet to you, that he will sit down there, and before you know what, while prayer was going on, I saw this. Who is bearing so name? I was praying in my house. The Lord spoke to me concerning this name. And if you check the hour, that person was communing with God in his house. But the one that is busy looking for phone call, where is this? Who is this? I am waiting. I want to see this one. As we are here now, all this while they talk, and they waste my time. They wait after service. They want to see Sunday. You don't stretch your neck, tired now. You don't see Sunday here today. You see stress now. You don't see Sunday. Do you know that I was told that there are some people that when they come to church, and they check, they see, say, pastor car, no day. They go enter their motor, go back. I heard it. Amen. And I said, those are miserable Christians. So when you come here, it's a man you're coming to meet, not God. Not God. Oh, I love that man. I love, you know, the service go, they one guy. I beg Jamaica, I go. And you don't know you are the most carnal person in our midst. It's an extreme display of carnality. When you come here, you are coming to meet with God. And the pastor is not away. It's away. He does not live with the anointing. He does not live with the God. If I ever leave this church and the service becomes without anointing, then begin to suspect that I am using something. It means I am using something. I mean, that they use one juju. As I travel, I carry and go where they go. So no anointing again. And God forbid that. The same thing I told you. Any church that is only one man, if he's a prophet, now only him be prophet in that church, and nobody else oppresses that gift, it is evidence that that gift is not of God. The reason is this. Every true spiritual gift is infectious. Other people must pick it. In the church. It's contagious. So that you only you to operate the gift. Now lie. Now lie. Only the see vision. Now lie. It is either you they kill the rest all, or that one way they use. It's not from God. Let them hear me now, God Pastor. Now only you, then they use. Now only you they perform miracle. Now only you they pray. All the testimonies. Now that did you. No other person in that church. Now that did you. Only you. So that if you travel, then go carry cloth, cover the pulpit. When service close, then go carry rope, tie. Don't go near the altar. Church of Jesus Christ, don't go near the altar. Then go carry, put security. Don't go near there. You plant something there, that's why. If not, a church, a true church, you should not lock the gate. The gate should be open. Anybody, 24 hours, anybody that wants to enter and pray, should come in there and pray. Praise the Lord. Faith, works, and love. May this be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Faith, works, and love. Faith, works, and love. Faith without work is dead. Faith plus work without love, you are nothing. May these three be identified among us in this ministry in the name of Jesus Christ.